With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Damn. Hey.
Mango is getting furious at Tony.
Tony?
TBD why, but I think that Tony just like low-key trolls in a completely undetectable way to humans.
Tony went like this. He said he like whispered something in Mango's ear and Mango flipped. Violent reaction.
He did.
He never has a reaction like that.
I love it. And then Tony was like happy.
He was like, he was literally, his mouth was open, smiling, and his tail was wagging.
His tail was wagging. He loves getting a reaction.
He got his goat.
Mm-hmm.
He got you. You were had.
Got his ass.
He got your ass. But now I'm now like kind of becoming serene with Mango.
You're learning how to control your dog.
Yeah.
In a professional podcasting environment.
He likes this.
Yeah, what's not to like? I would like that too.
It's not brain surgery.
He loves this. Like a gentle head tickle. I'm like, I wish that I could get that.
I know. Maybe we all.
I know.
I have something in the docket that I was...
Yeah, what is it?
Can you pull up Notion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to calm down.
Mango's fucking hyped.
Something about a TikTok trend?
Helen Keller deniers.
Oh, yeah. Apparently there's like... There's a whole like wave of Gen Z like TikTok users that there's, and I don't know if it's ironic or if it's real, but there's a trend of young people on TikTok.
They don't believe Helen Keller.
They're like, it's sort of like, I guess the Stevie Wonder conspiracy that he's actually not blind, mm-hmm. but they're like fully in denial that Helen could have written, read, done speeches, you know, written her own books as a blind, deaf, mute person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of insane to me.
What are their reasonings for it?
It's literally just, she couldn't have done that. She, like, it's just them being like, how could we even, I just don't believe that she was capable of doing all that stuff. So it's like weirdly ableist and kind of like.
That's interesting coming from such, I know, like
a hypersensitive generation of like people who are very much in tune with like what's acceptable or not, and they're like really coming for Helen.
They've never seen The Miracle Worker, and it shows.
No one, everyone should see that movie.
I was raised on Helen Keller. Like,
you're a Helen Keller stan.
Yeah. I like watched the movie. My mom showed me the movie.
That movie is...
I've seen the play. Like, I was truly indoctrinated.
Why not?
With Helen Keller.
She was an incredible woman.
Content at a young age. I was Keller-pilled as a young person.
I think you should be Keller-pilled because she was an incredible woman. I mean, I think
she went from being like a wild, uncontrollable
child
ghoul to then
being like
the boss ass bitch,
like a pseudo communist, like women's rights activist, like all this.
She was like doing that,
just crazy.
She did that.
She did do
all
that.
Thanks to Annie.
That movie with Anne Bancroft and Patty Duke, the scene. I watched that scene in the last year, and I was tears streaming down. Like,
it stayed with me for life. Like, I've watched that movie, the color version, the black and white version. I've seen the play. Like, Helen Keller was like a huge public figure to me.
I have the chills.
And Annie Sullivan.
Annie Sullivan.
And when I was at boarding school, the dorms had all different names, the dorm buildings. And the one that I lived in that I first moved into was called Annie Sullivan.
Oh.
So it's really like...
It's with you.
But then all this like denial has me thinking...
I mean,
like to put on my hat.
It is kind of shocking. Like, I mean, it's such a generalization that like every Gen Zer is woke. But like, because I'm sure there's shitheads in that generation as much as there are in ours, but like it is pretty crazy that the trend seems to be like mostly young people being crazy, like woefully ableist.
But
it's like
what's underneath it? There has to be something underneath it that's like on its face you would say, oh, that's ableist, but really there's like some sort of deeper truth.
It's like performative ableism. Like I feel like it's like maybe one person did some crazy conspiracy, like where they're superimposed in front of like a picture of Helen Keller, and then it became like
they doubt the existence of her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
How could her existence be up for the debate? Blah blah blah.
That's, I
mean, she went to Harvard. She wrote 12 books, many essays, and lectures.
She was truly been that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so they don't even think she was a real person?
It started as a joke.
Right.
Which I think I remember when that joke started, because I do love a Helen Keller joke. And like, it's always fun to laugh at it.
It's like a preposterous.
A Helen
like,
Keller joke never goes out of style.
So some like funny, ironic TikTok kid was like.
Or a memer. Or there a were memer. Lots of memes. Did you ever see the version of the play of Helen Keller on YouTube where it's like a. It's like a school version of The Miracle Worker, and the girl that plays Helen Keller just walks off the stage and falls into the orchestra.
Oh my god.
It's really good.
But then it maybe caught on and the joke was sort of eroded, and then it just became like a weird meme.
The conspiracy started as a joke. This is from The Guardian. Anyone who met a member of Gen Z knows they are creatures of the internet and such. And as such, have an almost awe-inspiring grasp of irony. They're walking examples of what has come to be called context collapse. And yes, it does. And yet, it does seem that some teenagers do doubt Kellen's achievements, or in some cases, that she was disabled at all.
That's interesting. I mean, it's
TikTok's removing videos, some of the videos, saying that they dehumanize others on the basis of a disability, and that's a violation of their community guidelines. But other videos remain up. Does it stem from our own insecurities? Could it be that a blind, deaf woman with more success in life than all of us is too much to grasp? Possibly, writes one young woman on Medium with such extraordinary solipsism that this correspondent had to take a moment. I love that this writer is shook.
I mean, it makes sense that it's like clearly like started as some absurd, like making fun of people who deny like established. It's like people who deny like the Holocaust or like 9/11 or.
Well, it's funny to make fun of Helen Keller because she is so accomplished and she did do that and everyone knows that.
Right.
And it's like she's like a saint. Like, so when someone is like has overcome a lot of troubles and has been that bitch, then it's
against her.
It's fair game to like make fun of them because the irony is that she's like better than all of us.
Yeah.
But then I think with like internet stuff,
it gets lost in translation a little. And then kids who maybe are like less, I don't know. I could see it trickling down to the point of like kids actually being like, who is this person?
Okay, this Guardian thing is only just like hung up on like the ableism of it, which is obviously a huge element. Oh, I love this has been like a thing for a while. Helen Keller deniers.
I just got aware of it the other day, but it truly shook me. And I
yeah, this
just...
has been, I remember this has been like in the rhetoric since like 2021, like as a thing that people are taking to TikTok to like disprove.
Wow. I mean, it's like flat earth people, I think, to a certain point. Like there are people obviously who like truly believe in it, but I think there's a lot of people who just say it to be like contrarian. But this feels like so internet that it makes me feel old even talking about it. But I was just fascinated. I feel like ancient being like, these kids don't know about Helen Keller, you know, but it's like clearly they do. But then I think some actually believe the irony. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like, it's irony leading to like actual
truth or like
assumption of truth
ideology.
Yeah, the power of memes.
Memes are scary.
True, dangerous, I guess.
Yeah, it's like it's misinformation.
Yeah, but we all agreed that like memes were memes and like you only laugh at them and you don't trust them.
Well, I just feel like
you trust them only as a source of lols.
No, but I think now they're like, I think
they're it's in the infographic economy.
Yeah,
I blame infographics for the destruction
of like
of meme and knowledge like, and like
activism
processing. Like, because once you start just putting like infographics and memes are kind of the same thing in a way.
Well, yeah,
so it's easy to start conflating them and just processing everything as having a kernel of truth.
Yeah, it's like when there's some, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, like when there's some kind of event or tragedy, it's like you just see the infographics.
There's less infographics now and more memes, I think.
No, but I think we've reached a point of such like oversaturation, especially in the last 2 years, that like the rules have been thrown out the window about like internet elemental internet truths, like memes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like, we've pushed so far into social media because for so long we had to like stay inside and it's all we had. I feel like it's like we've pushed into some kind of event horizon with social media and memes.
Yeah. And I think like younger generations are people that grow, like we grew up without memes. So then the creation of them was like entertainment to us. And we knew a life pre-meme.
And then we had
but
like E-Bombs World.
Yeah, if you don't know any sort of pre-meme existence, memes become truth to you.
It's freaky.
It is freaky.
It's a little weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go. Because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
It's like Ringu.
Millennials are like the last real ones up in this bitch. Don't you think?
I think in terms of like
what we've been through, our bodies, our journeys.
But also like growing up, there was a time where we didn't have social media.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, like, okay.
We are the last ones that like
had.
We've gone from absolutely nothing to like
this.
Computers with just like black screens and green.
Innocent.
Like, or just we've seen this whole come up and like so much has changed within our generation's lifetime.
Yeah, we're like whiplashed.
Yeah, thus the last real ones. Gen Z, sorry to you guys, but you're born after 9/11, so you really don't get it. And like you're born, AOL was like already a thing. You'll never know our struggle, our lives. Our memes.
Our bodies.
Millennials invented memes.
Goatsy.cx. Lemon Party.
Two Girls, One Cup.
Cups.
Drinking out of cups.
Drinking out of cups.
Literally, millennials invented memes so Gen Z could
turn
them,
and then
believe them. I'm like, respect that.
I did see this one of the like Parkland survivors.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the most like incendiary one, I guess. He was tweeting on 9/11. He tweeted like, what was it like? I was 1 year old when 9/11 happened. Like, I just want to know what it was like, you know, before blah blah blah. And he's like, I'm not trying to make this a lighthearted question. He's like, and then he started being like, it's a thing my generation will never know, and I feel like we've lost so much. And he made it almost, and I just was like the main character of 9/11.
But he survived that horrible school shooting.
Yeah.
I'm like, bitch, it was the same diff. Like, you've basically been through.
Yeah. He just presented it in a way of, like, almost being like, you'll never know what might, like, he was like, we didn't experience it, so it's really hard for, and I was just like, and then, of course, like, he started getting swarmed, and I was like, why are you setting yourself up? Like, first of all, and second of all, just don't say anything. I'm just like,
just watch a YouTube video or three and Google it. There's
YouTubers that their graphic for the video is like, I react to 9/11. You just see someone going, and like the plane. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Gen Zer reacts to 9/11 for the first time. You just see this like.
Well, it is wild.
No, of course it's wild.
But we've also lived through like the dawn of school shootings and like all that.
We lived through Rachel Zoe's era.
We did. Rachel Zoe's stable.
The Rachel Zoe show.
We lived through.
Brandon, what's his name? Johnson. Brandon Davis.
Gummy Bear and Greasy Bear.
We've lived through.
Celebrity Rehab.
We've lived through.
America's Next Top Model.
We've lived through Laguna Beach.
Deflategate. It was like a Tom Brady thing.
Oh.
The football.
Oh.
I don't know either. I'm just saying we like millennials get shit on a lot and for good reason.
Definitely.
But we are the ones now. We're the captains now.
Thank God.
I'm like, good fucking luck. Good luck to everyone.
Good luck to everyone. Much success to you. This is Valerie Cherish. Much success to you.
Baby girl. But yeah, so I don't know.
I just thought that was an interesting. I thought it was on brand for us.
It's a new twist.
The twist?
The twist.
Helen Keller is a fraud.
They just think, what do they think though?
I mean, it's like people who think Jesus was not real, which is probably true.
Well, do they think she was faking her deafness and blindness?
I think there's people who don't even think she was real and was just invented as like a psyop. And there's,
no.
I think there's people who are doubting that she, yeah, like she was pretending or something, which is like just.
That's also such a nowadays take on that era.
That she would be like.
That she'd be like a scammer. Because yes. It's like, she pretending for what? Like what? Her long con of pretending for her entire life so that she could write a book and then have it adapted into like many movies and a play. Like in her 70s.
She scammed her way into being an international lecturer.
Like she such, was not is, looking for like that is
such the, a modern like
it the, is like thinking of like her in terms of like Anna Delvey. Like people didn't
Caroline
scam
Calloway.
Like that back then.
No, they were scamming like with like tinctures and like
they were the scams that were happening were like
Harold Hill.
Women were getting like put into insane asylums for being like hysterical
and like selling faulty instruments to a town.
Yeah, or like having all of their like teeth removed because that was like the new treatment for like hysterical women. The scam back then was like yellow wallpaper vibes.
The scam back then was telling women that if they orgasmed, they were dying. Or it was like killing their soul in some way. Like that, it was most of the scams were derived around keeping women in prison.
Yeah, keeping women and like people of color down.
In hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those were like the big scams.
Definitely.
In terms of those, Helen Keller's the least of your worries.
It's crazy.
Also, if she was scamming.
Good for her.
Go off, queen.
I'm still a Helen Keller head.
Yeah, same. Miracle worker for life.
We ride.
Water.
Sup. Wawa.
Wawa.
It's true. Annie did that.
Annie Sullivan.
I loved in that movie too, like her exhaustion and like her hair was kind of like she was just in it.
I was also just really into like feral Helen Keller.
Nell.
And that was Nell era too. Nell piggybacked where Helen Keller left off and got her shit together. Nell took up the torch and led the fight.
It was also like for a movie made that long ago, it was really like it felt almost like a documentary. Like
I miss
the director really was like kind of. I feel like whoever I forget who did that movie, but he was ahead of his time a little because it was like shaky and you know what I mean.
Handheld, raw, yeah. Real.
It was just raw.
Helen really got her shit together too.
Yeah,
I'm like thinking back. Like,
should we have her on the pod?
Honestly, we should have a séance and invite Helen Keller to lecture to some of these bitches that don't know.
I'd want to go
like,
to dinner
actually,
with her.
Actually, like I've always been deeply inspired by her.
Yes.
And I really felt for her family because her mom and dad were like, what our daughter, all she does is like scream under the table. And like
they were at their end of their rope.
They said, Annie, you've got to get in here and get
this bitch. She came in, all this bitch does is scream. She was like super nanny, like, you're having a crisis. I've got to get there. It's like her being like.
Annie Sullivan walked so Super Nanny could run.
Annie Sullivan
there
came in and said.
There would be no wife swap or Super Nanny were it not for Annie Sullivan.
Because she was like, yes, I understand that things are very hard for you, but you're also being a brat.
You're being a little bitch.
And you need to get your shit together. And Helen was like, you're right.
And she didn't do it in a scared straight way. You know what I mean?
No, she showed
her
love.
She wasn't like threatening her or like depriving her or doing anything that like the troubled teen industry. Helen Keller, also the original troubled teen.
She was.
She was on the floor. She was out here on floors wreaking havoc on her family.
No, Annie was like literally like taking her, holding her hand up. Like she was literally
and being like, let me just show you something that you will love, which is how to communicate.
And then she was like, wow, this is so great. Thank you, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Love this. Love you.
She was like, not only am I going to continue communicating, but I'm going to go to Harvard.
Did they stay friends?
I think they were besties.
They better be. Did they have a falling out?
I think they lived together for a really long time.
Damn.
I'm Annie? Surprised that people haven't taken the, like, groomer route with
oh
Annie.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if they're going to go down the road yeah. of, like, being accusatory Annie? About HK.
Yeah, Annie Sullivan was grooming Helen Keller.
No, I think I looked into this recently because I was, like, just thinking about Annie and Helen as one does. And I was like, I wonder, like, how their friendship panned out. And I'm pretty sure that they lived together for a while.
Oh,
I know. It's sweet.
Annie was mother to a lot of these bitches.
She literally was.
Damn.
It's, I want to watch The Miracle Worker now.
Annie was, I think she was like channeling.
She had a lot of patience.
She was channeling like divine in that moment. And Helen was too.
My God, I'm having like a flashback too of like the scene where Helen Keller's mom realizes that she's blind and deaf because she got sick.
Yeah, she got, I think
she
was
had
like
a bad fever, I think. Yeah, and then, but then she did that.
Her parents loved her so much, though.
I know.
Ugh. This is just, we just did a tight 25 on HK.
Our queen, HK.
Speaking of
an
other
AS.
Queens, I'm sort
speaking
of.
Speaking of something that's like the polar opposite
of the miracle worker.
Of the miracle worker.
I tried.
No, but I love it.
I'm you this week. I'm raw dogging with no notes.
I love that. So, I'll lead.
All right, you lead.
Okay.
Queen. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy, Unique
Miracle Workers.
Jersey Shore, bitch.
Whatever.
We're nearing the end. It's Labor Day weekend.
I know. The shore is really cleared out. It's not as crowded as it once was.
No, it's like kind of, it's like March 2020 vibes where things are getting, where like the week before COVID, you were like, not as many cars on the roads.
Yeah, you're like, I guess everyone is staying inside.
That was so weird.
I know.
I got lunch with friend of the pod, Alan Morse, mm-hmm. like a month ago. And she's like, this restaurant we were at, she was like, you know, we came here a week before COVID and you came inside and went, there was no one on the road in Sunset. And then Alan was like, yeah, there wasn't. And we just looked at each other like.
I miss pre-COVID life. And I miss the delusion of thinking like.
We're going to Chicago.
We're going to go to Chicago and then I'm going to go to South Africa for like 10 days.
Queen.
Truly. Little did I know.
You were iconic for that. You were like, I'm going to Cape Town. I was like, all right, Dole.
I know. I was the first one to be like, should we maybe not go? And then Ed was like, no, we're going. And then I was like, okay. And then it started to get closer and closer and things were getting weirder and weirder. And then that's when the ODD set in and I was like, I will go no matter what. I don't even give a flying fuck. And then literally did not go. Didn't go anywhere for years. Not only did I not go to South Africa, I went nowhere. The farthest I traveled for literally 2 years
Camp Pacific
was
Park.
Up one flight of stairs and then back down the next day in my own apartment. Harrowing. I traveled to Italy.
You did?
Yeah.
Anyway. So Seaside's clearing out.
Seaside's clearing out, but the kids are all still in AC. And
that dark, that vibe, that hotel room is just disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
JWoww has just backhanded Mike in the face. Many producers fled from the woodwork to hold her back.
Snooki's standing there like Samara from The Ring, just with her hair like...
Snooki is little Samara.
Mike is like almost like threatening to... I'm like, are you going to fight JWoww, Mike?
Like, he's like, what do I do? Do I punch her? Do I not? She's a woman, but she hit me. I was like, he's processing it in real time. Like, let him process. Mike, as annoying as he is also there's something so endearing about it.
He's
authentic.
There's an innocence to all of them.
There is. JWoww is literally in so crazy mode, but legitimately she is so crazy.
She's in the bedroom with Snooki.
They hold her as they take her back and like drag her back into the bedroom. She goes, she's punk right now.
She's punk rock, love.
She's fucking punk rock.
Sex Pistols.
Tongue out.
She's like old Soho in 1980. She's like,
in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
She's hard edge.
She is. She's Vivian Westwood.
She and Snooki are sitting next to each other, and JWoww's like, I'm going to fucking leave. Like, I'm leaving.
And Snooki says, if you leave, I'm going to shove all the tampons up your pussy.
And then Snooki goes, shut the fuck up. And I was like, this is true friendship.
It is.
True friendship is where you can tell someone to shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
And they just laugh.
And they're like, yeah, they're like, damn.
That's the best.
Mike goes into, like, relay to Ronnie and Sam, and they're... gross bed. And
feeling so sad for Ron and Sam, just trying to sleep. Yeah. And then having drunk people.
Ugh, I'm just like, everyone's like wearing like dirty socks and has like dirty feet, and like it's just gross.
Their breath is like Red Bull breath.
Yeah. And then there's not even, their room is not even nice, and like it's not even, there's, this is like back, they were humble here. Because there's the rest of the people sleep on couches. Like, that's how, like...
I didn't even realize that it was three men sleeping on a sectional.
Two bedrooms and one giant couch.
And they only were there for one night.
Yeah. So they're, like, Mike's just, like, giddy. They're all a little probably hopped up on some Addy and just...
And it's, like, the sun is rising. I've
been there. Literally been there in Atlantic City. It's hell.
They all have to pile back in the cars, like, the next morning to check out. And they get back to the Shore House. And Mike is just talking so much shit.
About JWoww?
About everyone. He's like, what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. He's, like, just all talk. Mike, all he does is talk shit, and there's never, like, physical action to back it up, and I relate to that.
Can you imagine little Mike on, like, the playground?
So cute.
He would be, like, talking shit.
Talking smack, playing both sides. Like, he's like a wheeler and a dealer. But he doesn't want to get in the fray. I don't ever want to physically fight with someone. That does not appeal to me. Like, I don't
It's a horrifying feeling.
I don't want to punch. I don't want to get
punched.
How about a punch? I want to...
It's a scary feeling.
But I like to talk shit. And I like to, like, piss people off or, like, make them...
You got
to
be careful.
Make them get, like, in a huff.
Or it's about to be a what? Girl fight.
But I don't want to get... never one to, like, get violent.
Getting into a fight is truly an out-of-control, insane chaos. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
JWoww calls her boyfriend and she's like, hey, something happened last night. He's like, what?
I punched Mike.
Why'd you do that?
Because I was at the club and he wouldn't take me home. Because I was puking at the club.
Somehow I was wasted.
And he goes, why'd you get so drunk? He's like, why do you get drunk like that? Why do you have to drink so much? And I was like, that is not, I'm sorry. Like, it's a good question, but it's also like, that's not what she needs to hear right now.
No, but also being on his end where it's like, you were dating this girl and then suddenly she transformed into a creature over the course of the month. Like, every time they've talked, her voice gets like hoarser and hoarser.
She
goes further and further into the darkness.
She's crazy.
She's running from God's light.
He's like, you need to really, basically he's like, you need to unpack why you need to feel the need to drink so much. And she's like,
that's not what I want to hear right now.
Yeah, also it's like, good luck. This is the beginning of a 10-year journey of her being on TV and drinking.
Mike?
Just watched the Jersey Shore family reunion episode where Snooki and Ron creep on ocean.
Where are they? Senor Frogs?
They end up at Senor Frogs.
It's like 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. It was...
They were on something, right?
Yeah, or it's just like you get drunk all... Every once in a while you can pull like an all-night drinking.
I feel like they had to have been on something.
Ron is a tortured man.
Yeah.
He's...
Snooki's not that tortured in that moment.
No, I felt... But at the end of that, I was like, oh, I feel for Ron. Like, yeah. He's really got to, like...
He's got a lot of...
He has a lot of work to do.
Mike's kind of feeling... Mike's beginning to alienate himself. Like, he's kind of feeling everyone is turning on him.
He's grating on people a little bit.
Vinny's his main nemesis.
Vinny's not a fan. Snooki's not a fan. JWoww's not a fan.
Ron and Sam,
not fans.
Polly's really the only one that...
Polly loves him.
He does.
And I like that.
Polly, well, they're like, we have group sex. Like,
yeah, like, we're dating.
Polly can't give up on his girl.
No, you're right.
That's his man.
They are sexual partners.
That's his man.
That is his man. The boys head to the boardwalk to meet up with girls who are truly 17 years old tops.
Yeah. Mango.
Guys, no, we're not doing it.
And then out of the woodwork, they're like walking down the boardwalk.
I love them meeting at the shittiest restaurant of all time.
I can smell that restaurant.
Just like French fries. Mm-hmm. And overhead lighting.
Linoleum floor.
Yeah. A little bit of like bleach and cleaning products and a tiny bathroom scent.
Pink hand soap.
So pink.
Mm-hmm.
With a really rough paper towels.
Yeah. One little tiny bathroom. That you're like, when you're in there.
That you can smell from like 10 feet away.
And when you're in there, you're kind of like, I feel safe in here.
Yeah. But you're also like, I don't love it in here.
No.
It's like with a thin wooden door. So really, you're relegated to... He only.
Danielle the Israeli is like truly on a mission this episode.
She's that girl.
She is stalking him a little. But I kind of love it.
I love it
too. I respect her hustle.
She finds him on the boardwalk as he's walking with these girls and Vinny. And she's like, what are you doing later? Like, we're going to go out.
And he's like, I'll call you when I get home.
She was like, okay, you better call me. And kisses him. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm cringe.
I kind of appreciated it, honestly.
I was triggered because I feel like I've been there, like, in a Danielle position with guys.
No, it was humiliating, but it was also, like,
it's relatable.
And then they go to this, like, shitty little amusement park, and guess who arrives once again?
Danielle.
Ms. Jerusalem.
But also, Snooki sees Keith. That hot guy.
I know.
The one who got away.
And she's like, I didn't even know what he looked like because I was so fucked up when I met him, but he's really hot.
Love that. He's sexy.
He is sexy.
And they go back to Beachcomber. Mango. Mango's a bull in a china shop.
They go back to Beachcomber and aww.
And dance alone.
And he's like twirling her. They're having fun. They're getting wasted.
That was a healing Beachcomber moment.
They were like swing dancing.
Imagine getting punched. In the face at a restaurant / venue and then going back there multiple times.
And then going back and this time being picked up by a sexy like farmhand.
Having like a dirty dancing moment with a crush. The girls that Polly and Vinny are with decided they want to get a tattoo. Literally, someone's just doing a tattoo in a corner of a deck.
Sorry. He's tootin'. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, Tony's Putin.
There's
no escape from like dog secretions.
Yeah, that was such a like Jersey Shore thing to do.
I'm like, this feels unclean, first of all.
Horrible.
And also like you're just gonna go get a like that's truly a random tattoo to get. But to have like she's getting a tattoo across her entire foot, like a design on the top of her foot, which is also such a commitment
and painful. It's like really against right on your bone.
And she's laughing. Girl, shout out to my girlies with top of the foot tattoos. You guys are real ones.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
We know who you are because we...
We see it.
We see it.
When you wear flip-flops.
And you...
They love a flip-flop.
They love to remind us.
I'm always just trying to draw attention away from my feet.
Mm-hmm. I think most people are.
Yeah. And so the God thought bless. Of getting like a full-blown design...
It's a God bless moment.
Like...
There's power in that.
I have to... confront my own feet in a flip-flop sometimes, and where other people would look really cute in a flip-flop, that's not the case with me in a flip-flop.
You
and
know
it's
what?
A lot.
It's most people feel that way, I think.
Yeah.
About their own. Danielle's
watching from afar.
She's
observing
once, twice, thrice makes a woman.
She is now immediately left Polly the last time, walked to the Shore store, had a shirt made that says I heart Israeli girls, walked back to observe him more, and then approaches him during this tattoo moment and throws the shirt at him. And she goes, don't ever say I didn't get you anything. And he's like, what is this? And then...
But he kind of loves it.
He likes the attention.
He likes it at the end.
There's a flirt that's happening, but it's also just the wrong kind of flirt.
Yeah, but at the end, by the end, she sort of Stockholms him.
Yeah, but she also likes it too. She's doing the thing where it's like she wants to make someone mad and like fight and then be like, well, then I guess we're done. And then be like, we're done. And then be like, no, we're not done though.
But I mean, really, it's just we haven't had sex yet. So like, I can't be done with you.
Yeah, and I think it's really, ladies, there's so much power in just being unavailable.
The power of
being unavailable, and then when you are available, you treat men like dogs and reward them for good behavior, and then you go away and they're crated, and then you come back, and if they behave well, you treat them like dogs again. You're like, good boy, and you give them like a treat.
And then you go away again.
Which is like a boob. And then you go away again. And you just do this over and over until you've trained them eventually. And the power, then you fuck them.
The power of ambivalence.
Truly. And reward. Like a reward-based system.
Neither yes nor no. That's the middle ground is there's power in there.
But it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when you're attracted to just like a hot tan Guido who's about to be the biggest DJ in the world.
Danielle's really going through it. And when they get back to the house,
she goes, call me when you get home. He's you like, promise oh. you'll call me?
He's like, yes. The girls get kind of darked out, so they leave.
Yeah, then they all go on a roller coaster and Danielle shows up a third time.
She's like the ghost. She's
Pennywise.
She's literally like, if she shows up three times, it's like
Bloody Mary. I'm sad for her in this moment. Because then she's also like hugging him around the waist and his body language is like very stiff. And I was like, oh my God.
She's not respecting his
boundaries.
Yeah. She's kind of me-tooing him.
Then he gets home.
And she calls.
And the phone starts ringing off the hook.
So Vinny gets on the phone and pretends to be Mike and says, Paul nor Vinny is available.
And Mike goes, the Israeli chick is stalking tonight.
And it gets so bad that they take the fish phone, the duck phone off the hook.
Because Danielle just will not stop
calling. That was crazy.
It was crazy.
That was insane.
But I've also been there where I feel like I'm not getting enough attention. And I'm also just like a little drunk. And then I was like, I'm going to call 20 times. And then I'm going to leave a psychotic voicemail. That's like, you don't respect me.
I didn't do that, but I've called a lot. And I said, oh, sorry, I was pocket dialing. I did it when I was drunk.
There was one person, like when I was 20 years old, that I was drunk and I literally called like 20 times and then finally did leave a voicemail. It was like, you know what? I'm better than this. And like, you don't respect me and that's fine. But if you're like not going to call me when you say you're going to call me, then like we're done.
Know that.
Yeah. And it was a real Danielle vibe. The Israeli chick is stalking tonight.
He's stalking his life. He keeps saying, you stalk my life.
Mike has gotten to a place of prank.
Yeah, he and Vinny are just up. They're like night owls who can't sleep. I think because they're on so much like protein and like they're just activated from working out so much that they're just like up.
Your perception of protein is really interesting to me because I feel like you think that protein is like cocaine.
No.
And that it makes you shit a lot.
Well, It kind of does.
Does it? Yeah. I thought vegetables make you shit more than protein.
I feel like I always just feel like guys who are like on a lot of protein are just farting.
Or just like farting a lot. Interesting.
I think Mike and Vinny are just up because they work out so much that they're just constantly activated.
And they're delirious. And it's also like almost the end of the time. So it's that moment where you're both like, let's prank and be silly. It's Mike and Polly.
So they get Pickles out and they put Pickles underneath Snooki's little bed.
Which I was like, leave Snooki alone.
And then Mike makes this disgusting concoction and leaves it under Vinny, which is just not going to go well.
I think it's kind of funny because Mike is such like a clean person and is clearly triggered by people who are like hurricane room vibes. And so this is his punishment for them. And as like a fellow person who kind of likes to travel and like have like clean organization for the most part, I would feel the same way.
My apartment is very ordered and neat, but when I travel, I'm like...
It's a toss anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah. You've seen it.
I've seen it.
It's literally just... But I'm just like, you know what? I'm in...
You're in a hotel. It's a, things hit a little differently.
Sorry. Vinny looks really hot when he's asleep. He's a hot sleeper.
Yeah.
I'm an ugly sleeper. Vinny's... Some people, when they sleep, they're like... I'm like, how do you look like that?
I think I'm a frown sleeper. I go like this.
I'm just like this.
Or I'm like this.
I'm just
like drooling on myself.
Vinny's like...
Yeah, Vinny's sexy asleep. Mike thinking he's punk for doing these really low-level pranks is endearing.
Snooki wakes up and she goes, so I wake up at 1 p.m. And she goes, and I just smells like pickles everywhere and I don't know why. And then she goes underneath and she finds her pickles and she's like, I'm not mad about the prank. I'm mad that he wasted my pickles. And then she goes into the kitchen and throws them out and she goes, dorks.
Love her. Sammy is loving this Israeli girl situation way too much.
They're talking about it and then...
Sammy gets into like pick me territory.
Totally.
Because she is... She's loving when a girl is like completely embarrassing and she can like shit on her with a bunch of other guys.
She is pick me moment. And then, but they're also, when they're talking about the situation, is talking about Danielle and Ronnie goes, oh, the Jewish girl.
I was like,
oh my God.
This isn't the first time we've seen some like a touch of anti-Semitism in the Italian American community. I'm thinking back to the...
Mr. Soprano.
I'm thinking to Mr. Soprano. I'm thinking to...
The Godfather.
I'm thinking about Teresa on season two of Ron J. Like, that's like a whole thing. I'm like, you guys need to unpack that.
Yeah, they really should.
You're all white.
Really terrible.
So,
yeah.
You guys got to get it together.
Yeah, Sammy's definitely a pick me girl.
She loves it. And then they're talking about it, and JWoww's spraying so much Pam in a pan. I was like, whoa. But then she goes, he's stalking. He's getting stalked. And she's like, huh. Like, she's in egg mode.
She's ready to go.
Yeah. Danielle calls again.
I know.
And finally, Paul talks to her. And that's when he goes, you stalked my whole life on the boardwalk.
Okay, and then Sammy's going, get it, Paul. And I'm like, you know what? Like,
just as embarrassing.
This is embarrassing. This person is humiliating themselves, but like, you should be a little more like, I don't know. It was upsetting.
Danielle's behavior, I will argue, is no worse than Sammy's own behavior in her relationship with Ronnie.
100%.
It's the exact same
100%
vibe.
Also, you see Paul. Paul's like, gets like vicious. I'm like, you hate women.
Well, he's also like toying with her.
Yeah, but he yells at her in like a scary way. Like, you see his veins.
Yeah, but she was interrupting him.
Yeah.
She was being cray cray.
Pick me, Shane.
Pick me, Shane-holes. Clocking in. 12:57 p.m. Pick me, Shane-holes has arrived. No, Danielle's like...
No, she's embarrassed. She's being ridiculous, but like, I think...
This is their dance, though.
Yeah, they're
dancing.
This
is all part of their mating
ritual.
They're
tangoing.
Yeah. You stalked my whole entire life.
You stalked my life on the boardwalk.
Yours there.
You're always there.
Did you say I said I was gonna call? I was gonna call you when I got home, and then there you go. You wanna fuck it up. You don't wanna trust me.
You're ringing the phone off the hook all night. We had to take the phone off the receiver. Also, the way they talk about, like, it's like they've been at the shore for 100 years.
I know.
I love it.
They have never not been at the shore.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Back at the shore store, Mike and Sammy are on a shift.
I literally was like,
Mike goes, you look really cute in that sweatshirt. Sammy's like in her sweatshirt and short shorts licking a lollipop. And she goes, you tell me that every day. And I was like, she loves it.
Sam is the girl that you're in line with for the hayride who has her sweatshirt sleeves pulled over her fingers. And she's going, I'm so scared. That's Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you know that girl.
I know that girl. I was like also loving Sam's like collegiate sweatshirt look. Mm. I was like, I need to cut a little V into one of my hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
Right.
The crew decides to go bowling.
Cute.
I was like, let's go to the shore. I'm ready.
Let's go to the shore right now.
Let's go. Should we go in October?
Octubre.
I want to go to the Jersey Shore. I've got to go to New Jersey. I've been saying this for years.
You got to go to.
And I've never gone.
The Bada Bing.
Where Erica danced.
I know.
Okay, this October when we're in New York, I'm gonna go to New Jersey.
You'd say Octubre.
Octubre. I'm gonna eat prosciutto.
Literally take the path over, or like take New Jersey Transit and take it to like.
I'll do a Sopranos tour.
Take it to like Elizabeth.
Elizabethtown.
No, Elizabeth. Or like fucking no. Take it to what are the North Jersey stops on the New Jersey Transit? It's like Secaucus. Newark, New York Liberty. You could take it to New Brunswick.
Okay, I need to really think about this.
Okay. Edison.
Jenny and Mike talk it out outside the bowling alley.
I'm glad they made peace.
She's an old soul.
Yeah, she is.
Mike goes, you should have never smacked me. I was with some chick.
She's like, I know.
I know, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry about it, Mike. I'll never do it again. I'm just missing Long Island.
Jenny's just thinking about, like, I think they're all having, like, depression knowing that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all, like, thinking about, like...
the end. What they think is, like, maybe the end of an era, but little do they know.
No, I know. And they're just, like, they're having, like, they're seeing, going back to, like, Long Island, New Jersey, like, you know, and they're just kind of, like, damn, like, the party's really over. Like, we had a month of, like, having...
And the summer's over.
Having literal bodyguards surrounding us and, like, camera crews everywhere and, like, all eyes on us in the center of a ring, just like a circus. And now they're like, I have to go back to, like, my vet clinic in Poughkeepsie.
I think Snooki, like, she's a star wherever she goes, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But she's gonna miss, like, being in a house with friends.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, a house with friends kind of girl.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be me.
No. Then he's like, Mike tried to pull a prank on me. He tried to put cheese under my bed. I was like, you guys.
It's gross.
Are gross.
They have like an intervention with Mike.
Jersey Shore is proof that we're all just looking for love.
That's
something that I wrote. We're all just looking for love, friendship, and community, and to feel seen.
You're right.
I also need a rosary.
Get one.
Mike's rosary necklace. I was like,
Mike was like,
that's
doing
fashion.
They were doing like the Catholic is cool thing before Dime Square people.
They were trad cath.
mm-hmm.
aesthetic.
They were.
Mike calling Vinny a rat is the ultimate diss.
Oof, you don't call him a fellow Italian.
You never call.
Especially one from Staten Island.
Also, Vinny is Sicilian.
Sicilian from Staten Island.
You never invoke the R word. That is truly the Italian R word.
I know.
Also, Ronnie's hair.
Crazy.
It's full triangle.
It is. He's pyramid head.
Do you know those little like Japanese like baby figures? Have yeah. you ever seen those little figurines?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like naked babies yeah. that have like a carrot. Like yeah. that's what he looks like.
He does look like that.
It's true triangle head.
The closer to the end of summer, the more
triangular his hair gets.
His hair becomes Giza.
I wrote, look, I drew a picture of him.
He's truly become Pyramids of Giza.
And Vinny's talking so much shit to Mike. He's like, you actually like rub people the wrong way and girls don't want to come back to the house because like the way you say things and like the way you are. And
it's
I was like, you can't like say this to him.
Well, they have like an intervention on Mike.
Well, it's not going to land.
And then Sam is in the background, of course, like in bed, like with the covers over her.
I did not realize she was even there.
But I'm like, again, she's being a little...
Until she... Yeah. Like, this
That's
conversation...
such bullshit.
...went on and on and on, and I thought it was just guys in the room. Mike goes, you don't know me. Neither does he know me, neither.
And what room are they in?
They're in the smush room. Where Ron and Slam sleep on the air mattress.
Slammy, sweetheart.
And Polly is firmly Team Stitch, which I was like, you're a real one for that. He goes, how Mike acts, that's who he is. That's just how he is. He's never been any different. He's been the same to me since day one.
Yeah, Ron's like, the guy I know from the first day is a lot different than the guy today. I'm like, that was 20 days ago.
Yeah, and also it's the same guy.
Same guy. They're all just a little bit haters.
And also they're just like talking about women like cattle at this point. Ronnie goes, what? Mike goes, I've never not brung home chicks. Like, he's like, I bring home chicks all the time, like, every night. And Ron goes, I have the best 10 you ever seen, and you're still bringing home threes, fours, and fives. And he goes, are the chicks all hot that come through these doors? Sometimes no, sometimes yes. He's volume guy.
Yeah.
And then Sam appears
pops
from
a little
bump
head up.
Under the covers.
She goes, what are you talking about?
I'm like,
y'all need to shut up.
Y'all need to shut
go
up
to sleep.
Right now. Go to sleep.
I'm like, go back to bed.
I was like, you have appeared.
Do you think Vinny ever ran into Big Ange?
They had to have known each other.
Or maybe he was like on the opposite side of Staten Island. Staten Island's big.
They had to have known each other.
Hi, my baby Vinny.
I wish...
Come on to the Drunken Monkey, Vinny. I just want to see the Drunken Monkey.
Hello, my baby.
Hello, my baby Vinny. Come over here, Vinny.
I miss Ange.
I miss invoking her.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good voice?
It was really good. It took me right back.
Hi, my babies.
I also need to finish her reality show.
I don't like to get the drama of Artiki. Just go to Boardwalk.
And it brought me back to a place of reading her book, which was one of the best books I read all year.
You were in a place of Ange. Rayola.
I really did process a lot. There's a lot of grief that I've been through this year in regards to Ange.
I know. Ugh. So Mike's feeling very tender.
Add her to the seance.
Oh, yeah.
We have a seance and we invite Helen Keller and Big Ange.
Can
honestly,
you imagine? They'd get along great.
If I could have dinner with three people, three strong, beautiful women, I would have dinner with Helen Keller, Big Ange, and Courtney Love.
Or Helen Keller, Big Ange, and Tiffany Pollard.
Yeah. That would be incredible.
Or Big Ange, Helen Keller, and Monique.
That would be a summit.
The wisdom that we would receive from all three of these women is just like...
That would honestly... That would change your life.
That's their... Because they've all reached enlightenment.
They have.
Monique is the funniest person, like, in history.
Anyone who has not watched Charm School Season 1... You need to run, not walk, to your nearest TV. Get that entire season and watch it all tonight. It is so fucking good. And Monique is hosting it.
She's Oscar winner, Monique.
Brutal. Yeah.
She is truly one of the funniest humans
ever.
Ever. Like, her off-the-cuff, like, candor is just, like...
It's unbelievable.
I'll never forget that.
Remember her talk show?
Yeah. Remember
I loved her talk show.
Remember that viral clip of her going, I would like to see that.
What?
She goes, I would like to see that. And people always use it when like someone's like doing like a thirst trap. They'll go, I would like to see that.
I think she also recently sued Netflix and won.
Because they weren't going to give her as much money as they paid. Like, anyway.
Snooki goes, we're going to Karma tonight and I'm ready to just blow this out of the water.
I'm inspired by her.
Her poof is on. Her hair is tangled and wild. And her corset is pushed to the gods.
Corset as a dress.
Mm-hmm. Because like, she's tiny, so she can just fit into it.
Her tits are just, like, bursting. And this, the amount of hairspray that she and Jenny put in their hair, I've never seen anything like it.
She sprays, and her hair is just, like, everywhere, and she looks in the mirror, and you know she's just feeling herself.
And then they all get to the kitchen to take shots, and everyone makes fun of how Snooki looks.
I was like, you all are haters.
Haters. She looks amazing.
Haters to the fucking left.
You know who thought she looked amazing, though?
J-Well.
Yeah.
Her best friend. Her girl.
She was like, I'll never forget. I'm so proud of her.
I love her so much. I'm so proud of her. As she's doing like backflips on the dance floor.
And her pussy showing.
Karma's also not that full tonight.
No, something happened. Was this like swine flu?
Why did it clear out for Labor Day weekend? This is Labor Day weekend. You would think that Karma would be popping the fuck off.
Wait, was this? This was, oh my God, this was like
swine flu era?
Yeah, this is 2009 in the fall.
But so people were like not going out?
I'm just joking around.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like,
I did get it that fall though.
This was your swine flu era. You're like, it shook the world and no one in Jersey went out. But also, where was everyone?
I went out. That's how I got it. We had a swine flu party. We passed around pictures. We had a quarantine party.
Oh my God, fun.
It was really fun. But yeah, it's kind of beat.
It's not that full. And then, lo and behold, Danielle appears.
She's wearing like a look. She's wearing like leather.
She's a little bit more loose.
Uh-huh.
Like her boardwalk look was slightly severe. She's, with the glasses and a ponytail.
She's also like leaning into the joke of it now, which I think is funny and smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she and Vinny are like, I guess we're going to break up now.
Yeah, her and Polly are kind of like engaging in like a flirt. And then we cut to Snooki. She's sitting on a leather couch, one leg draped over a guy. Her full-blown puss is out.
Can you imagine that?
Making out with him.
How dirty that couch is.
I know. I've never seen it. Haunted by a leather couch outdoors.
A gross at a club. Like, and it's not even like, it looks like a house that some like gross man has in his house.
That's like when you're a teenager and you hang out at someone's like party house and it's just like.
Like a 20-year-old and you're like 15.
And they have like a leather couch in the garage.
Yeah.
That's the vibe of this couch. And I was like, you're touching with your bare skin. But I also wrote queen shit.
She's a queen. And then these girls come over and everyone's blurred out. And she goes, what do you think you're doing to the guy? And then he goes, do you know he has a girlfriend?
He has a girlfriend. She's watching everything. And this girl taps Snooki and she goes.
And then
you see this girl go.
She goes like this. She goes, no, 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 no.
And runs away. Snooki goes, screw you. And
I love it.
May we all. That's the right way to be.
She goes, fuck you. And she gets up.
Screw you.
She's not about to do that.
No. And she just marches over to like. Another area of Karma and just, I think, sits down next to a guy and just starts talking to him like they've known each other.
Wait, the one thing about Snooki is like she's all about the girl code.
She is, and she'll move on and bounce back with someone else in no time. And I appreciated that.
She goes outside and starts talking to the crow, the literal crow.
But it's like she launches into a conversation as though they were midway talking.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, hey, what's up? It was,
no.
She was, and it's so fucked up. Like, it's like my Labor Day weekend. Like, what? You're just going to, like, do that? Like, it's crazy.
I think she just is one of those people that will just, like, sit next to you and just unload on the first person she sees.
Dimitros.
He's, like.
He's a little pale.
He looked like a heroin addict. I'm sorry.
He was giving me like Greek. He seems tall, but then also I think anyone's tall next to Snooki. But I was like,
no, he's like a
he was a giant.
He's like 7 feet tall.
He's Jack and the Beanstalk giant.
He's like Tim Burton creature.
I was trying to get a good read. He did have a nice big nose.
No, I liked his nose. I just like he had that. He had that like chin strap thing, which I'm always like,
it's a little much. Snooki goes, I met this guy. He's like hot and he's tall, but he doesn't have many muscles, but that's okay.
So he's just like, literally like, just, I need someone to like split me open.
She's talking to him at the bar and he's like, they've somehow gotten to a conversation where she's like asking him to prove that he likes her to her. And he's like, no, I like you a lot. Like, I wouldn't be here talking to you if I didn't really like you. And I was like, how did we get here?
I don't know.
But I like it. She's making them work. She's really vetting her men.
So then they all decide to head back to the house and they have like 50 people with them. I'm like, what is going, who are these people?
There's a really hot bald guy that's with them.
There is.
But he's wearing a baby blue shirt and he's hanging on Mike like they're lovers.
They're like one of those bands that like, where there's like 30 people in it and the songs are
they're Arcade Fire.
I belong with you. You belong with me.
They're Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, this crew.
They have like, do, 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 do.
They're all draped in like Christmas lights.
It's like at the end of The Wicker Man when the whole town's like skipping together towards...
They're giving me Station 11 Caravan vibes.
They're merry band.
Then the haters come out of the woodwork. Not only does the merry band try and go back to the house, but there's another merry band of haters that follows them into the streets, and it's drunken girls going, go back to New Jersey.
Whores.
And I was like, you're in New Jersey.
And then, well, it's different. It's like... The shore is different.
The shore is not New Jersey.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's what she thinks. I love
being in a state and being like, go back to that state that we're also in.
Sammy goes, how about I'm from New Jersey, whore?
Sam, you don't talk shit to her.
Well, then they start talking shit to Snooki, and Sam, to her credit, is like, no one's going to mess with Snookers. So Sam goes off.
And then it cuts to like Snooki's one-on-one. She goes, I'm feeling good. I have on my corset and I'm just like feeling hot and sexy. Like no one's going to talk shit to me.
You see a cut of her though, and she kind of, they close on her and she goes like this. And then.
How are you going to be so hateful to this lovely crew of
people? She was some like off the shoulder, like annoying blurred out woman. I was like, you go back to Jersey.
Yeah.
Idiot.
You're the whore.
You're a whore. And then.
This bald guy with Mike is just hanging all over him. He's so fucking hot.
They're gonna fuck.
I know. And then things start escalating. A guy keeps trying to like come at them and only to be like taken out by security guards and like placed, picked up and like put on the other side of the boardwalk. And then just when you think everyone's gotten over the kerfuffle and like finally the crew's gonna head back to the house and party, Ron just starts kind of like backing up from people.
And he hears, it's like he hears like.
All it takes is like one thing, like a guy going like, you bitch.
And then.
He just takes off running.
It's like that.
He's truly.
Terminator.
And Get Out when the guy is like, the gardener is like running. That's like Ron running at this guy, comes at him. We don't even see, but he punches him, knocks him flat out onto the ground.
He punches him so hard that the guy like goes unconscious.
Goes and then, full unconscious on the ground. Then Ronnie's like giggling, laughing. He goes, that's one shot, bro. That's one shot, kid. Like skipping around.
And then he heads back to the merry band and everyone's kind of, and he just goes, and he's like, shit. And he puts his arm around Sammy. He goes, everyone look ahead. Just look ahead.
And then it cuts back to the knocked out guy. And then he's just ass up on the boardwalk.
He's like, oh, he got me. Which I'm kind of like.
You asked for it.
You asked for it, love.
I'm sorry, but you don't scream at a group of guys, one of whom clearly has roid rage and anger issues. Like, is looking for a chance to kill. Don't talk shit if you're not willing to back it up.
But it's no use because the Seaside Police.
They arrive.
And they arrest.
How do they know Ronnie by name? They go, Ronnie, get over here.
Because I think he's trouble before.
This part.
He's been arrested twice now, right?
Has he?
I think so.
No, that was the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
But they've been like, the cops have come around a lot.
They know.
Because of these people. They know they're infamous and they're...
They probably have like...
Seaside Police Department's most wanted.
Yeah.
Just Ronnie.
They have like a whole a dossier and all these people.
They go, Ronnie, get over here. And they start talking to him. And they're like, what happened? He goes, he was swinging at me. It was self-defense. Like, why would I lie to you, bro? I'm not going to lie to you, bro.
And they're like, it's aggravated assault. So
I love the cop goes, guess what? You're getting arrested. You knocked him out. That's AG assault.
And then Sam like walks over and she goes, "It's not just anyone, it's Ron." I was like, ugh.
They're putting Ron in the cop car and he goes, "It was self-defense, bro," to the cops.
And then they head back to the house and they call and they're like, "Yeah, he's good. He's just resting. He's going to be ready tomorrow morning." I was like, "Oh my god.
That's so It's annoying when you're like in a group of people and one person gets arrested and then you're like,
kills the vibe.
It kills the vibe, but then there's always people that want to like stay up all night and go bail them out. Like that happened to me once where like one of my friends got arrested and then everyone was like, "Let's stay up all night." And I felt like I had to because I was like,
you're like, "I want to sleep."
I literally, all I wanted to do was like go home. I was like, "I hate this. Like, I don't want to stay up until 8 a.m. and like go get this person from jail." But I just like couldn't set that boundary at the time. So I stayed up all night and then like got them out of jail. And I was like, "Why did I do that? I'll never do that again." If you get arrested, that's really your problem.
It's your problem, love.
Yeah. It was self-defense, bro.
We're coming up on a pivotal episode.
Oh my god.
Snooki has her first real meatball moment, and it's incredible. So get ready to bear witness.
I'm so ready. This has been life-changing.
It's a delight.
It's a delight. It's like a coming home to like a warm, cozy blanket and a fireplace.
And a bowl of ziti.
Instead of like having a fireplace and building a fire at night, I just turn on Jersey Shore Family Reunion.
Yeah, they're your
the same effect.
They're your firewood.
They're my people.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned, guys. Buy tickets to our show October 15th at the Bowery Ballroom in New York fucking City. And also, this week's bonus episode for the Patreon people will be posted on Thursday instead of Wednesday. So just know that.
Know that.
Know that. And
ciao, bello.
Ciao. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff.